All right, we have been talking about basically how to understand people so you don't have a lot of conflict, a lot of problems. Now, we're not going to go through all that. We're going to kind of follow up what we did last week and then conclude with something about that. We tend to judge people comparing our strengths against their weaknesses. You may be a person that's positive all the time, and they may be negative, and your response may be, come on, perk up, perk up, perk up. We tend to compare where we're strong. We often ignore our own weaknesses compared to other people's strengths. One of the things in being here for so long, I can tell you about everybody, and I can tell you, not every weakness, but I can tell you where they fall short, or maybe where somebody might complain about me or complain about somebody. But I also can tell you some good strong points. We all have strong and weak points in our lives. We do not understand people and their makeup, and we don't accept them as they are and extend grace to them. There is a difference between a person with evil intent and their behavior. I'm not going to define that too much, but I know it when I see it. There's some people I wouldn't trust with a 10-foot pole. I know something's not right. But there's a difference between a person who loves the Lord, the church, morals, and has not quite conquered their natural tendencies fully. And I'm one of those. I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. Now, I'm not living out there in wickedness, but I have certain tendencies within my humanity, and there's a difference. And the second one is who we're to accept and to understand. We have strengths with weaknesses, and there are some things difficult for us that are not with others. There are some things I've been with myself for all these many years. I pretty well know me, and there are just some things I cannot do, or I'm not good at. I don't care how much praying, I don't care if I receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I don't care if people laid 100 hands on me. It wouldn't make any difference. I just don't have that ability there. But there's other ways, and we're all that way. So now I want to just list a bunch of them, again, that we did last week. And this is on relationships. This is on relationships. Some folks are brassy. They're showy, flashy. They come on strong. They're too loud. Some folks are permissive. They allow others, including children, to do as they please in order to keep from being disliked. There's some parents that way. Okay, all right. Anything to have peace here. Some are naive, a simple and childlike perspective, lacking comprehension of deeper levels of life. Some folks just look at life simply, and that's good. And they don't think much beyond the surface. They just like simple life. Some people want credit. They thrive on the credit or approval of others. As an entertainer, this person feeds on the applause, laughter, and acceptance of an audience. Now, that's not fully, but it can be in the heart that when someone does something, they want a little credit for what they've done. Some are a show-off. They need to be the center of attention. They like to be watched. Some folks are loud, a person whose laugh or voice can be heard above others in the room. I know one in my family. When he's there, you'd hear him from all over the country. Some folks are bossy, commanding, domineering, sometimes overbearing in adult relationships. I know none of you are like that, but there are some people a little bossy. Some people are unsympathetic. They find it difficult to relate to the problems or hurts of others. There's some folks that really, and I've had folks tell me, I can't relate to people when they're suffering. I just can't. My response is, get up, go. But then sometimes they've gone through suffering and realize, oh, okay. But it just isn't in their nature to do that. Some people are impatient, a person who finds it difficult to endure irritation or wait for others. I know none of you are like that. Get a little irritated, a little impatient because you have to wait on somebody or wait on something to get done. Some are unaffectionate, find it difficult to verbally or physically demonstrate tenderness openly. I went to watch someone play a ball game, and I hope you don't listen to this tape. But anyway, he was there. Great guy. Great preacher. Great guy. I hadn't seen him in a long time. I mean, he hugged me. Hugged me like crazy. The whole time we talked for about 5 minutes, he was just hugging me next to himself. And deep inside, I wanted to back away. You know, a little too much hugging here. You know? But that's the way he is. Fine, great guy. Some people are domineering, compulsively take control of situations and or people, usually telling others what to do. Oh, I could tell a few stories on that one, but I saw it early on. You think old children just come here, you know, just be bopping along. Some are pretty strong-willed and pretty domineering, and buddy, it's my way or the highway. Some people are intolerant, appears unable to withstand or accept others' attitudes, point of view, or way of doing things. Some folks just say, hey, you know, whatever you think, that's fine. And some folks say, what? You disagree with me? What are you talking about? Just natural to them. Some people are manipulative. They influence or manage shrewdly or deviously for their own advantage, and they will get their way somehow. You'd see it in little children, you know. It's just funny. They come, they want to get their way, and they will work it out where they can get their way. My children early on, the boys would say, Mama, can we go so-and-so? And she'd say, no. And they come in and said, Daddy, can we go and so-and-so? Yeah, you can. And, of course, I got straightened out on that one. We must agree on this. Oh, I didn't know you said they couldn't go. They want to run off a cliff. It's fine with me. It don't bother me. Some are stubborn, determined to exert their will, not easily persuaded, obstinate. Now, I know none of you are like that. But some folks are stubborn. They're not going to change. Some lord it over. They don't hesitate to let you know that they're right or they're in control. I'm right and that's it. I'm in control and that's the end of the story. No more discussion. Some people are short-tempered, has a demanding impatience, based anger, and a short fuse. Anger is expressed when others are not moving fast enough or have not completed what they've been asked to do. Some folks just are short-tempered. I mean, boy, it'd go up just like that. Some folks are bashful. They shrink from getting attention, resulting from self-consciousness. You may not believe this, but when I was in high school, we had to once a year in English class, give a report. I took a 0 every time because I was scared to death to get up in front of my own classmates. Would not do it. I remember Miss Fincher saying, Tim, you have your? No, ma'am, I don't have it. Will you have it tomorrow? No, ma'am, I won't have it either. I won't have it. It wasn't until the girls in the class, we were talking my senior year, and they said, oh, my knees are, you get scared up there? You're kidding me. I can't believe that. One time, one of our teachers out in eighth grade, I could finally get up and speak. But the only way I could do it is if I was first. And it got closer, he was going to alphabetical order. And he got to Dave Oakes. I still remember this day. And I thought, oh, he got time for one more. Oh, and my force field went down. Oh, good, I can be first tomorrow. Dave, he said, I don't have mine. Okay, Tim. I literally got in front of I still remember this day doing this. You don't believe that, but that's true. Some people are unforgiving, have difficulty forgiving or forgetting a hurt or injustice done to them, apt to hold on to a grudge. Now, I'm not talking about an extreme sinfulness, but some folks let it go easier. Some folks just hold on to it. I remember what they did in 1951 at 8 o'clock. Some people are resentful. They often hold ill feelings as a result of real or imagined offenses. You better think about that one. Some folks get their feelings hurt not because you did anything, but because they imagine you did something. Oh, I didn't mean that. Some boats are insecure, one who's apprehensive or lacks confidence. Some are unpopular, a person whose intensity and demand for perfection pushes others away. Some boats are just perfectionists, and they want it done the right way. Some boats are hard to please, a person whose standards are set so high that it's difficult to please them. I know none of you are like that. But some boats are just hard to please. They has to be done a certain way. Some people feel alienated, easily feel estranged from others, often because of insecurity or fear that others will not enjoy their company. Now, this isn't out on the open. But don't think there are not, and there's some of you tonight, that you don't think there's not people that feel a little bit alienated. No one's really alienated, but it's because of inside their system. They easily feel alienated from others. Some people are withdrawn, a person who pulls back to themselves and needs a great deal of alone or isolation time. Some folks just like to be alone. You know, some folks say, man, I got to have people around. Some folks just like being alone. Some are too sensitive, overly introspective, and easily offended when misunderstood. Some folks, I say, sometimes we wear our feelings on our shoulders. And easily, what was that? Easily can be offended. You say, oh, that's just unchristian. No, that's just the nature of some folks. Some people are an introvert, a person whose thoughts and interests are directed inward, lives within themselves. Some people are introverts and some people are extroverts. Some people just love, yeah, you want me to speak? Yeah, great, I'll speak. And other folks say, would you speak Sunday? No, thank you, no. Some folks are moody, don't get high emotionally, but easily slips into, I love this, into low lows, often when feeling unappreciated. Now, I know there's nobody here like that, but there are some people that are moody and easily can draw into the low of lows. Some people are skeptical, disbelieving, questioning the motive behind the words. How are you doing today? I wonder what they meant by that. Boy, preacher, that was a funny sermon tonight. I wonder what they meant by that. They mean they didn't like it or something? Some people are a loner, requires a lot of private time, and tends to avoid other people. There's people like that. Some people are suspicious. They tend to suspect others or ideas. Some people are revengeful, knowingly or otherwise, hold a grudge and punish the offender, often by suddenly withholding friendship or affection. Oh, nobody does that. Oh, yes, they do. You offend a little bit and go, how you doing? Hey. I'm going to ignore you and make you pay. Oh, yeah. Some people are uninvolved, have no desire to listen or become interested in club, groups, activities, or any other people's lives. Not interested. Not interested. That's what we do at church. We come to get together. Some folks are not that interested in joining in all that. Some people are reluctant, unwilling, or struggles to get involved. Some folks are compromising, will often relax their position, even when right, in order to avoid a conflict. Please let there be peace, whatever you want to do. You want to jump off the mountaintop? Fine, that's great, great. You go jump off the mountaintop. We're okay. Now, I said all that to say this. I'm not getting to the details of it. I may during the summer. But I am more than ever convinced that every one of us in this room has certain basic tendencies that are part of your humanity. And to some degree, how a person's been raised and what they experience may be also a reflection of their sinfulness. Some people may naturally have a temper, but depending on how they were put down, it may be expressive more. But I'm convinced every one of us. And so one of the things we don't do in understanding people is just to understand, is this an evil motive? Or is this just person struggling within themselves and has not conquered it yet? Now I want to read for you James 1:22. Says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I'll give you a principle that I've tried to live by for a long time. Don't fully do it because I'm not perfect. First of all, he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If a person does not practice the Bible, we tend to deceive ourselves. I'm doing it. We deceive ourselves into thinking that we're doing better than we really are. We're doing better than we really are. But in fact, we're not practicing the precepts of Scripture. Dr. Burchett used to say in his encounters with people over the years, he said, I found a lot of people either unable or unwilling to practice the basic precepts of Scripture. And I think there's some truth to that. You must put into practice. But how do you do that? We must, first of all, see ourselves and our tendencies. Notice what he says. For if any man or be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Ah, yeah. Boy, that sermon got me. Yeah, I do. Tend to be a little unforgiving. But you know what happened? They just walk away and forget it. Just forget it. Now, I don't mean you got to remember the sermon. That's not what I mean. Sometimes I don't even remember what I preached on. But did it convince you? Darn on my toes today. Okay, but what did you do about it? Because that's the nature of the Scripture. The nature of the Scripture, it will convict you. Now, that doesn't mean all the time. The Bible encourages you and lifts you up and instructs you in truth, but it will convict you. And it will expose you. I've told many times the story of Deanne's aunt, Joyce, who went and translated the Bible in Papua New Guinea. They didn't have anything. She learned their language and then translated the Bible in their language. And she said one day she came and the fellow that had gotten saved and became their preacher was reading the Bible and was just crying. And she said, what's going on? He said, this book knows me. It knows what I'm like. Preacher, you must have been sitting in my house this past week. No, I wasn't. That's the nature of Scripture. It will expose you. Secondly, what do you do about it? Do you go out and go, oh, well, nobody's perfect? Or do you go out and meditate on it a while? No, that's not what Scripture says. You don't think about yourself anymore after that. If the Scripture convicts you, I worry. You don't think about that all the time. Here's what you do. We look close at the teaching of the Bible on that subject. He says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. He does not say, if the Bible has exposed me, then I go and think about me a lot. That's not what he said. If it exposed, oh, you worry. Oh, you got a temper. Oh, you're unforgiving. Oh, you say it the wrong way. Fine. But you don't go around sitting around thinking about it. What you do is this. The word looketh into is a different word than beholdeth. And it is the word which means that Jesus knelt down when they came and brought the woman caught in sin. He knelt down and wrote down on the ground. Well, it's the same word meaning that the person then goes and looks into the Scripture. Well, I wonder what the Bible teaches on that. They look closer. And to look closer means you study it. You learn. What does it teach? And notice what it says. Into the perfect law of liberty. The Bible is a book of liberation. Because a person that holds a grudge is in bondage. But when they can forgive, it is liberating to be able to love your enemy. A person who's worried sick
is in bondage. But it is liberating to be able to say, Lord, I trust you and I'm not going to worry about this anymore. It is liberating. That's what you do. The Bible convicts you, but you don't spend the rest of the time thinking about yourself and moaning about yourself. You go study the Bible. I wonder what the Bible says on anger. Oh, study Proverbs. Wonder what the Bible says about being stubborn. Oh, go find a few verses on that. You might be amazed at what the Scripture teaches. It has a liberating effect in it. Remember we studied some Proverbs? It convicts you, but wasn't it also liberating to some degree? That's what the Scripture does. It's liberating. And then you practice the positive side against your tendencies. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, let me describe it this way. You know, I always see the glass as half empty. I always see the negative side of it. Forget it. You know what you do? You go to your Bible. And you find Philippians where it says in Philippians 4, focus your thoughts on these things. You find all the verses. Man, read Ephesians 1 about everything God did for us in Christ. Read Romans 8, 6, 7, and 8, and all the things God did in Christ. And focus on that. Look at being thankful. That is, remember I gave the illustration when I had a car, it was out of line and it tended to go this way. You know how I stopped it? I just pulled it back this way. And if a person tends to lean to the negative in the power of the Spirit, you must learn to then be thankful and look at the positive. It's a work of the Holy Spirit, but you must pull against the grain of the way you tend. That's how you practice the Scripture. Well, I know sometimes I can be blunt. Well, read some verses on the speech. And sometimes, don't be blunt. Sometimes say, well, you know what? Instead of being blunt and criticizing, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go around and I'm going to tell everybody what a great job they're doing. Man, you're doing a great job. That's against your tendency. But rather than always looking at the nitpicking things, you pull against yourself and find good things to say. Well, I tend to worry. Leave that with the Lord and then find the positive, wonderful things that God's done in your life. I bet if you were to take the time to list all the things that God done in your life, you'd be amazed. Wow, my God has always taken good care of me. Every one of us has, when you wake up in the morning, you are you. I used to think, when I first was in seminary growing, you know, you used to think, well, if I had different circumstances, or if I had different friends, or if I had a different this, or I had a different church. You know what I discovered in all those situations? Wherever I go, there I am. I could get mad here and leave and go to another church. You know what would happen? I'd be there. I might think, oh, it must be the problems in this church. No, it's not. It's me. Wherever you go, there you are. Some people don't need a better church. They just need to learn to live with the one they got and be against the grain of their tendency. I wished I could tell you, and I'm not going to tell you. But I have certain strengths and weaknesses. I have to study a certain way. I study a certain way. Because if I don't, my tendency is I wouldn't do it. You know what I do? I will tell you. I study in thirds. Because I'm so easily distracted. I currently have 8 studies going on at the same time. And if I'm not careful, I'll just get sidetracked. So you know what I do? Start in the morning, focus. Yeah, let's see. Wait a minute. Oh, okay, now take a break. Take a break. Then I'll come back and I'll go at it again. I'll take a break. You know what I also do? I pray in thirds. During that time, I then pray and worship the Lord. Then I come back and I intercede. Pretty, that's crazy. No, I found out that if you said, Tim, you're to study for 14 hours. What? I have to break it down in manageable bites. And you know what? It's freeing, because I've learned to conquer me. My wife, Deanne, would say, no way. I'm going to study till the world ends. Because she can do it, buddy. And I'm distracted by, what are you doing? Oh, my girl. I learned to conquer me. I know I have certain tendencies within myself that I will not tell you. And when I come on Sunday to preach, I pull against that tendency and make sure that in my preaching I don't allow that to be the predominant force. Because I know what I'm like. And I have to pull against it. That's why I love to preach the Bible, because then I'm stuck. I hope you can understand this. If you don't, my. You see, you can't understand people until you understand yourself. You know how many times I hear people marry their opposite? That is exactly true. That is exactly true. And most times you're friends with your opposite. But each day, I've lived with me long enough. I know what I'm like. I know what will bother me. I know what is said that will bother me, that might hurt my feelings. So you know what I do? I make sure I'm prepared ahead of time and don't allow that to get in there. And I step to a positive area of practice, because I know which way I tend. There is freedom if you never learn yourself and then conquer yourself. There is so much freedom. Listen to what he says. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You remember any of the disciples? Remember the Apostle Peter? Big mouth? I don't care, Jesus, if the whole world rejects you. I will never, ever, ever reject you. Guess who was the first one to reject him 3 times? Peter. But you know what Jesus did? At the end, Jesus came back and said, do you love my sheep? Do you love my sheep? He did. Gave him 3 times to say, yes, Lord, you know I do. Peter was impulsive and I'll do this and I'll do this. And the Lord had to work on him, deal with him, help him. Became the greatest man of the gospel. The Apostle Paul hated the church and wanted to kill every one of them. When the Lord saved him, the Apostle Paul was on his way, but he learned, remember the conflict he had with Barnabas and John Mark? At the end, he said, please send John Mark to me, because they had reconciled and he'd learned to realize it was good. Here's how you understand people. By understanding you and what people are like. Some folks are just frank. Some folks are shy. Some folks worry. Some folks are negative. It's all right. Just love them. Accept them. Just make sure you conquer you, though. And if you don't, man, I wish you could. Well, I wish I could take you on a journey to learn this. I've been doing this for 100 years and practicing ever since seminary. It is free to learn it. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for your precious truth. And I pray you would encourage each and every one here tonight. May not quite grasp what I'm saying. They may. I don't know, Lord. But it is freeing to go against the grain of our natural tendency and practice the opposite and find victory and freedom in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you would encourage each one here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.